This morning I want to ask you to take your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to be examining verses 1 through 33 this morning. Acts 4, 1 through 33. And as you can see on the overhead, I'm going to be asking a question. Are you a bold Christian? And we're going to read in this text about some men who were bold. We're going to talk about what that doesn't mean a little bit. We're going to talk then about what it does mean and how it is exemplified in this text. And we're going to talk about where boldness comes from. So that's where we're going this morning. It's good to see everyone here. We still have several who are out. I was looking around and noticing we still have some families missing. And those who were out last week, we missed you. And those of you, I'm glad that you're back. But we still have several who are out. And sickness is going around. So we need to remember those who are not able to be with us, as well as Paul read a very long sick list this morning. We need to remember those who are sick and not able to be with us. In this text, I'd like to read all 33 verses. Read the entire story for you so that you can get on the same page with me. And then we'll go back and we'll talk about some of the things that we have just read. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by whom this man stands here before you whole, this is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who they had healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs and the wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say of anything that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, that's a lengthy reading, but that's the story of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, first of all, there was something that took place in chapter 3 that brings this about in chapter 4. There was a man who had sat at the gate of God Beautiful, whom Peter and John had healed. And there was no question about that. This man was healed and everybody knew it and they couldn't deny it. And because of this, when Peter and John was brought before the council, they were threatened, but they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And they recognized that he was with Jesus. So verse 13 speaks of the boldness of Peter and John. They saw that boldness. Boldness is something that can be witnessed. It's something that is recognizable to the eye. You can see it. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. In verse 29, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." You know, we need to pray to God for the men and those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever they may be, or teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever they may be, to speak with boldness the word of truth. But we need to have a prayer like that. And then in chapter 4 and verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They carried out their mission with boldness. So boldness was something that we see in the apostles and others as they were bold enough to stand up for what is right, for what is true, and not back down. In fact, as you study the book of Revelation, you see the need for boldness as the trials and tribulations promised upon Christians in that day. It would demand, for example, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." That would require much boldness to suffer the persecution that they suffered. And in fact, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, "But the cowardly and unbelieving." Cowardly is the opposite of being bold. What is bold? Boldness. Vine's Expository Dictionary defines the term that we're looking at this morning as the absence of fear in speaking boldly, hence confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, without any connection necessarily with speech. It could also do with action, but the idea is that we are acting, speaking with courage and confidence. Because without confidence, there can be no courage. Our courage is based upon our faith. Without that, we cannot be bold. So, boldness, the absence of fear in speaking boldly, hence confidence. Now, boldness is not arrogance. Some people who teach the Word of God, who preach it, they come across as being arrogant. Now, they may be coming across as being arrogant simply because they are bold and they are stating the truth as they understand it. They're not intending to come across as being arrogant. But sometimes that is perceived. Sometimes people perceive just bold people as being arrogant. Period. But that does not give us the right to be arrogant. That is to look down our nose on someone else. To think of someone else as inferior. Boldness is not arrogance. Boldness is courage and of your convictions to stand up for what you believe in. And anyone who has the arrogant spirit, thinking that they are better than anyone else, and this is from pride, then certainly that is not boldness as we would define it in Scripture. That is not what God wants us to be. And something else, boldness is not rudeness. Boldness does not give us the right to be rude. We are to speak the truth in what? Love. Speak the truth in love. Our speech should be, as Paul said in Colossians, seasoned with salt, that it may give grace to the hearers. Boldness does not give us the right to be rude. Now, Peter and John were not rude, but they spoke the truth. They spoke the truth. They were straight to the point, but they were not rude. Boldness does not give one the right to be rude or presumptuous. Boldness is not presumptuous. There are those who are bold, or they appear to be bold, because they presume things that are not true. And they want to demonstrate their faith. They want to demonstrate their loyalty to God by some activity that God does not teach, authorize, or expect. For example, maybe you've heard the story of the group of people who were traveling through the back roads of Kentucky. And they came across this church. And it was Sunday. They were looking for a place to worship. And they came to this building and they went in. And lo and behold, the group of people there to worship. And as they were ushered in the aisle, they began to realize they were in the wrong place. And as they were sat down, the people started coming out with rattlesnakes. And the small group of people asked the preacher as he was walking by, they said, "Do you have a back door to this place?" And he says, "No, we don't have a back door." And they said, "Well, where would you like one?" And so, you know, the idea of handling rattlesnakes and saying, "We are bold in our faith. We have faith in God." And they express it through things like that. That's not faith. That's, what would be a good word that wouldn't be rude? That's not smart, is it? Handling rattlesnakes, trying to profess your faith. Presumption, not presumption. Boldness, drinking poison or things like that. That's just not smart. That's not boldness. But boldness is the courage to stand up for what one believes in the face of opposition. Now, there is a problem today with people who are bold, but they're being bold for the wrong thing. They're standing up for what they believe in, but what they believe in is not the truth. Friend, look around. You see people, young people, middle-aged, older people, who are in false religion. But they're much bolder about their faith than many of us are. You see people going from door to door, knocking on doors, wanting to talk to their friends, to their neighbors, and others about the Bible, yet teaching error along the way. There was some discussion on one of the email lists that I'm on about Tim Tebow here during the national championship game. And a lot was made of Tim Tebow, the starting quarterback for the Florida Gators, national champions, about his professed faith. In fact, if you saw his interview after the game when he had his helmet off, it had John 3:16 under his eyes. And every time he speaks, he gives praise to Jesus Christ, his Savior. And he's been on mission trips all over the world. Young man, but is very bold about his faith. Well, during the discussions, there was another young man, another quarterback, Colt McCoy, University of Texas. He's a member of the church. And some of the people on this list were complaining about Colt McCoy not being as bold about his faith as Tim Tebow was about his. And the perception is there that people who are in positions of fame or recognition like that, that they are bold. Like, I mean, it takes boldness to be in Tim Tebow's position and do what he's done. No question about that. But what about Colt McCoy? Why is he not as bold? That was the question that was asked. Well, he is bold in a sense. It is known where he goes to church. He goes to church every Sunday. He is faithful. But it's just not as well known as Tim Tebow's. Is it possible that those who have been deceived by error are showing more boldness, more zeal than we are? Everyone who watched the national championship game knew about Tim Tebow and his faith. And I would just like to ask, are you that zealous about the truth? Well, people were, anyway, on this list, they were talking about Tim Tebow and how wonderful it was for what Tim Tebow was doing. Well, if Tim Tebow is teaching error, he's not presenting truth, and he's leading people to error, is that really a good thing? We who have the truth ought to be zealous enough to do those kinds of things and take advantage of opportunities. All of us should be zealous for the truth. It's a shame when people who have error are more zealous than we are. So, what is boldness? It is the courage to stand up for what one believes in the face of opposition. Are we that courageous? Now, let's look back at our text and think about some things. First of all, boldness stands up in the face of publicity. It faces public. It says, I want you to listen to this. They spoke to the people, verse 1. In fact, you go back to chapter 3, they had preached an entire sermon to the audience. And they knew that there were dissenters out in the audience. They understood that. They knew that there would be people that did not agree with what they said. But they spoke the truth anyway. They spoke to the people. The priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. These people heard them as well, but they spoke anyway. In chapter 3, verses 11 down through verse 26, we see that they preached to the people. So it was, and when Peter saw it, he responded to the people in verse 12, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let it go." It's not just that they spoke to people, it's that they said things to people that those people did not want to hear. "You have delivered up Jesus Christ, and you've crucified Him." Now, how would you take that if that was something you had done? So, they profess their faith publicly. Do you do that? Tim Tebow professes his faith publicly. I honor him for that. I admire him for that. I wish that members of the body of Christ, I wish that all of us had that same type of courage. I wish that were true. Secondly, here in Acts chapter 4, notice in verses 2 through 12, they didn't water down the truth in the face of opposition. Now, the people had come upon the Sadducees, the captain of the temple, they come upon them. And verse 2 says, "Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Now, there was opposition there, and they knew it. Now, look down to verse 5. "And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together to Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now, you don't see any watering down of the truth here. Listen to what Peter says. "Being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole.'" And goes on, verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Of course, verse 11 talks about, quoting from Psalms, about them rejecting the cornerstone. But You know, we see all kinds of compromising going on today. We have people saying, well, you know, I don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Billy Graham has made the recent recognition of that, as far as he believes that you can be saved as a Buddhist, as a Muslim, just as long as you're sincere. That's all that matters. But, you know, Peter and John said, you have crucified, you have slain this man, Jesus Christ. You put him to death. Again, there's a charge. Would you be so bold as to make a charge like that? To somebody that you knew hated you? Someone that was opposing what you stated? And then to say, you're the ones of whom the prophet spoke? There in verse 11, quoting from Psalms 118, verse 27, this is the stone which was rejected of you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He's pointing to them and saying, you're the fulfillment of this prophecy. And then stating that there is no way but Jesus. Your Jewish religion won't get you there. You've got to believe in Jesus. They didn't water down the gospel at all, did they? Did not back away from the truth. They did not compromise when threatened. In verses 13 down through verse 22, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized they had been with Jesus. Now, they recognized their boldness and they realized that they were with Jesus, but then they went on and they threatened them. They knew that there was a great notable miracle done, verse 16. They couldn't deny that. But in verse 17, they said, we're going to tell them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. So when they called them and commanded them, verse 18, not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Boldness. They were threatened. Do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. What did they say? We can't help but speak in the name of Jesus. And I don't care how much you say not to or how much you threaten us, if we do, we are going to speak and preach in the name of Jesus. We're not going to compromise the truth. We're going to speak the truth, and we're going to do it whether we are beaten, whether we are persecuted, whether we're tortured, it doesn't matter. We're going to speak the truth. Now, here we see the boldness of Peter and John. What about you? Do you profess your faith publicly? Or have you been known to water down the truth in the face of opposition, depending on who you were talking to? Or have you compromised the truth because you were afraid of being threatened or losing a friend or a family member? Have you compromised and watered down the truth? Now, as we see on in this text, we find the source of boldness. Where did Peter and John get this boldness from? Well, first of all, it goes back to verse 13. The people, the council before whom Peter and John was gathered, they recognized something. They realized that these men had been with Jesus. And that's very important. I think that's eye-opening. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. They were untrained, uneducated men, but they realized they had been with Jesus. You know, it's important for us to know who Jesus Christ is, not just a little bit, but we need to really know who Jesus is, what He teaches, and we need to develop a close union with Him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of God, having no hope and without God in this world. What kind of relationship do you have? Are you without Christ? Those without Christ certainly are in serious trouble. We need to have faith in Christ. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12 of Ephesians. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. It is our relationship in Christ, with Christ, and our faith in Christ that produces boldness. We can't be a fence rider when it comes to Jesus. We can't be half-hearted. We have to be wholehearted servants and followers of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we're told to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know and understand what Jesus has done for us. And we need to follow His teachings, and we need to establish a close union with Jesus. If we do that, we will be bold. We'll stand up for Him. We'll defend Him. We'll talk about Him. We'll spread His message. But only if we have that close union with Jesus. You know, the lack of boldness, what might that demonstrate? Do you think that says something about your union with Christ? Might it demonstrate a weak union between you and Christ? I think it may. Are we bold? Secondly, in chapter 4, verse 23, Acts 4, 23, they gathered together and they prayed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. They prayed. They prayed with each other. Sometimes we can be weakened through various trials or temptations. We can be weakened. We need to find boldness to stand up against those temptations and those trials. And we need each other. God in His infinite wisdom saw that we needed each other and we needed to depend upon each other. We need to pray together. Praying with the brethren is very important. In chapter 2 and verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Prayer with one another is important. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. We need to consider one another and to exhort one another daily. We need to do that. In verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You see, we need to come together and support and encourage one another. So they were praying with brethren. And they were praying to God, of course. And they were honoring, praising God. In verse 24, it's interesting. Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. I tell you what. When you are dependent upon God, when you trust God, and when you have Him as your help, how can you not be bold for the truth? How can you not be willing to stand up publicly and defend God and Jesus Christ? They were trusting in God's support. And true, as David said, verse 25, as David said, why did the heathen rage, the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. Here you have, again, a quote from the book of Psalms, and it's pointing out a messianic psalm. There were people who would be raised up against Christ. That happened, but Jesus was bold. He went to the cross. But look, here you have now His supporters being persecuted. And they're going to follow suit. They're going to be bold. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They trusted in God to be their support, to be there for them. The message was to go forth. The crime was committed. Jesus was crucified, but He was raised from the dead. And now the message must go forth. And as Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 states, if God is for us, who can be against us? So our source of boldness is trusting God as our help. And the next thing is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, and when they had prayed, verse 31 says, where they were assembled together, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now then, you had the direct revelation of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about words. It wasn't just that they had power, that they glowed or anything like that. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with wisdom and knowledge. And yes, the Holy Spirit equipped them to perform miracles. But the idea is the revelation. That's what they went, and that's what they spoke, the revelation. They preached the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gave them those words to speak. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, "Be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And your parallel passage to that is Colossians 3, verse 16. "Let the mind of Christ dwell in you richly." The Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The teaching of the Holy Spirit is what we're to be filled with. We can be filled with that today. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we find there that the Apostle Paul writing, telling us that we are to continue in the law of the Spirit. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So I'm walking according to the law. I'm teaching what the law of Christ has said. I'm filled with what the Holy Spirit has revealed. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit. When I bear the fruit of the Spirit, what does that mean? That means I have been filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is producing this through the Word of God in my life. I am bearing fruit, love, joy, peace. All of these things are a part of my life. So I am taking the Word of God. I am filled with God's Word. I have taken God's Word into my heart. I have fed upon it. I have learned it. And I am filled with the words and testimony of the Holy Spirit. Now, look, if I don't know Jesus, and I don't have a strong union with Him, and I don't have a strong union with my brethren, and I really don't trust God, and I don't know a whole lot about the Word of God, how likely am I to be as bold as I ought to be? You see, I need to have that strong union. I need to pray. I need to trust God, and I need to be filled with the Word of God. Because if I don't have a working understanding of God's Word, then I am going to be lost as to how to speak it and communicate it to others. Are you a bold Christian? Maybe you're not, because you don't have this union with Christ, and you don't have the brethren to depend on, or maybe you don't trust in God, or maybe you don't have a working knowledge of God's Word. Well, you can fix that, friend. We'd like to encourage you to do that. And quickly, very quickly, let's notice some of the results of boldness. Many of those who heard the word believed. You know, how many people would believe the truth if there were not brethren bold enough to preach it? It requires this for the gospel to go forth. Many of those who heard the word believed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What if nobody had the boldness to preach the truth? There are plenty of people out there who are bold enough to teach error and to stand up for that. But what about those who are bold enough to stand up for the truth? Some were greatly disturbed. You know what? When you teach the truth, you're bold enough to teach the truth, you're going to upset some folks. That's just all there is to it. There's no way around that. There are some folks that are going to be upset about what you say. They're going to disagree with you, and they will be vocal about it, and may even more than that. There will be some who are disturbed. We see that in the life of the Apostle Paul, don't we? In chapter 7 and verse, or Stephen in chapter 7 and verse 54, but in Paul in chapter 13 verse 45, etc., etc. I mean, Paul had people following him all over the place, wherever he went, trying to persecute him. Why? Because he was bold in speaking the truth. Some were greatly disturbed. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Being bold engenders confidence, which engenders unity. When we are all standing together upon one thing and we have confidence in that, we're going to be united together, and it's going to bring us together. The bolder we are, the more work we do together, the more we're going to be joined together. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And that's what Jesus prayed for, John 17 and verse 20, that we all be one. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They went forth. They went out. They spoke. The results of boldness, you know, it's interesting. Here in chapter 4, at the beginning of our text, in verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. But then what happened? They prayed for more boldness, and more boldness was given. They grew in this. They became more and more confident to preach. You know, you may have enough boldness to stand out and teach somebody, teach your friend. And as you teach your friend, you continually grow and you study and you learn yourself. And as you grow, you study, you learn, you gain more confidence, and you excel in teaching, and your boldness will grow. We need to be people who speak the Word of God with boldness. With love, yes. We need to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's a reality. 1 Peter 4:11, speak as the oracles of God. And great grace was upon them all. God's blessing showered down upon them. Acts 4:33 and Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. You know, we have a promise of God there. His Word will not return to Him void. His Word is going to accomplish its intended purpose. But what if men are not bold enough to teach it? That's the sad part. There are too many who are not bold enough to teach it. All of us, I think, well, I know, should have boldness in our Christian life. Our speech should reflect our loyalty to Christ. Our actions should reflect our loyalty to Christ. Our prayers should be for more boldness, and we should seek out more boldness and to do more work for God. And if we are bold, if we are courageous, if we continue on, then guess what? We will be effective. And we will help the Lord in His effort to save mankind. Are you a bold Christian? How do you measure up? I'm not asking you if you were as bold as Peter and John. I'm asking you, are you bold enough to talk to your friend or your neighbor, your relatives about the gospel? Let's start with that first. Are you bold enough to talk to your co-workers about the gospel? Are you bold enough to study with them? Are you bold enough even to talk to your children about the gospel? There are some parents who think that's the church's work. That's your business. Are you bold enough to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to others? Maybe you're here this morning. You're not a Christian. The Lord expects you to come to Him and to serve Him. And if you're here and you're willing to do that, we want you to know that you are welcome. The Lord wants you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, come unto me. Come unto me." He's pleading with you. All of you who are heavy laden, come. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Will you submit to the teaching of Christ, be buried with Him in baptism, be united together with Him, and then grow in Him, strengthened by Him, and equipped by Him to serve? If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, in any way, if we can help you in any way, we want you to come. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.